It's good to see everybody this morning. Appreciate the opportunity to share with you. I kind of want to share with you some of the things that we've currently been working on at the congregation in Wauseon. And the congregation there sends her greetings and over to work at the youth camp, and appreciative of all the support you have given to the youth camp and to the work here. If you would turn in the scriptures with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Beginning with verse 11. Foundations are not insignificant, nor are they to be forgotten. They are the basis of the building. Paul writes to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it," the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, "if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. Yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you, not just in the foundation? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, and they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's." Let's pray. Father, your word teaches us something about forward movement in this process. God, I pray that you would be with us this morning as we carefully consider these things and as we perhaps do some inspections in the cracks and corners and crevices of that temple that you have created and given over to us for the care of. We would see the significance of that, and Father, that we would make perhaps any changes in the construction that we need to make, and Father, that we would redouble the efforts to continue to build this structure that would give glory and honor to Christ Jesus our Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is Paul and the Holy Spirit's analogy for the body of Christ. Now, it would not be my analogy. I am not a builder. Hammers and nails. I work with Habitat for Humanity and on the board in Fulton County. And my wife pointed out to me that that's a strange thing for me to be involved in since I couldn't pound a nail straight on a bed. So I do a lot of the talking and, you know, fundraising and that sort of thing. But really not much use on the building site. I'll show up for laughs, get a t-shirt, you know, make other people feel skilled. But as far as me doing, it's not my forte. I do think it's important that I be involved where I can be involved, and that I do at least make an attempt, but they're not depending on me to be the construction site manager, thankfully. We have built a couple houses. But thinking about the analogy that God has given us with our bodies being the temple and the church, as Steve Doty kind of puts it, being the big Jesus and Jesus himself being the head. As you kind of look around at this physical plant, to use the analogy, some years ago, this was nothing but a bunch of scattered pieces. Stack of 2x4s in a lumber yard, plywood, piles of nails in a hardware store, roll of carpet in somebody's warehouse, concrete that hadn't been created yet. But now, due to great planning, a lot of hard work, expertise, all these pieces and hundreds more have come together and been joined into one unit for our use today. So the church being joined together and being one unit to be the light to the world. So, am I my brother's keeper? The answer is a resounding yes. Say, yes, you are the temple of God, but we're fitted together as living stones to work in unison with each other. So these things have to be connected, see, in order to be functional. And sometimes the dysfunction might come because of our independence. See? Our individual independence, our independence as congregations, our independence celebrated, and rightly so, by our nationalistic concepts. But this building is interdependent. And the church of our Lord Jesus Christ needs to realize that we are individually interdependent, corporately interdependent, and we are connected with each other. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. First Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. built up into that spiritual house. There is a blueprint that needs to be followed. This is the blueprint. Blueprint is where everything that we say and do must be guided by what God has told us. If we ever leave this blueprint behind for any reason and start building on our own, whatever the excuse is for the deviation, the result is going to be disaster. We have to follow the print. Now, we not only have to follow the print in coming to the building site, see, but we have to follow the print as we continue to build. Stringing a yellow tape that says construction site around something that has shown no progress for the last 10 years doesn't mean it's a construction site. You see, I'm working on it, and it's only going to wash for so long. God will not be mocked. Some things take longer than others. That's true. But let's not kid each other. See, if we don't share not only the gospel with those outside, but share our very lives as well, what kind of a building are we bringing them into? I got to thinking about this, and how could I illustrate this? And once upon a time, there were three little pigs whose mom said to them, "It's time for you to go out into the world and make your fortune. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." John 17, 15 through 18 says that we're to be in the world, but not of the world. Now, if you take a white glove, the church, and put it in the mud, you do not end up making the mud glovey. You make the glove muddy. See? Now we got to remember that as the church, we're salt, light, and a city on a hill. But we got to watch that influence that we don't, you know, go headlong into the process here and end up with trying to make glovey mud. So this first little pig decided that he's going to build his building. Jesus sends us to build our lives. Not just initially, but continually. And the question is, are we going to build with quality materials, or are we going to follow the print, or are we going to build a house that's going to be easily blown away when the storms come? Because the storms are going to come. Or are we going to build steadfastly, line upon line, precept upon precept, do the hard work? Three little pigs had a mission, so they pick up their bags and say goodbye to their mother, and each little pig takes a different path. First little pig didn't like hard work. And quickly built his house out of straw. He built it on soft sand, and he finished that same day. That night, he's laying in his hammock, pretty satisfied with himself, because on the surface, he's followed the plan. Not necessarily the man, but the plan. And he's found himself finished, so he's looking forward to a life of leisure. The first little pig is like those people who come to Christ and are really not too concerned about putting forth the effort into building God's temple. That is, our lives. The fact of the matter is, the first little pig doesn't like to work. But it takes work to build your spiritual life with the Lord. I've never seen someone who has been physically lazy who has been a spiritual superman. These things are connected. See, you are who you are here and now, and when nobody's looking, and it's a consistent thread that runs through your life. And if you're willing to cut the corner to get it done quick, you're liable to be that way both in your... Well, there's no both about it. You're liable to be that way. Kind of like the guy who complained to the preacher one time. He said, whenever I come to church, you always sing the same songs. Same songs every time I come. O little town of Bethlehem and Silent Night. Every time I come. You know, sometimes we say more than we mean to say, don't we? Well, the next morning, the first little pig strolls down the road playing his flute and rooty toot toot, and he wants to see how his brothers are doing. Now, you notice, the first little pig likes to blow his own horn. He's the kind of little pig that spends a lot of time blowing his own horn and not a lot of time working to build his own faith. Tends to spend an inordinate amount of time talking himself up and running others down. All talk. We've met some Christians who are legends in their own mind. Second Thessalonians 3:11 describes the first little pig when it says, "We hear that some among you are idle." They're not busy. They're busy bodies. I've never seen a stone coerced into place in the building. We are not going to coerce or to trick or to manipulate people to do the right thing. It is going to have to be a change of heart, and we are going to have to get into people's lives, and we are going to trust each other in order to do that. That is just the bottom line. And if we have our weak spot in Wasion, I don't play if, our weak spot, see, and of course it's probably not here. Do I look stupid? I think it's all over, see. I think it's all over that infectious from the world, you know, don't trust anybody, kind of begins to permeate our activity and our thought process, and finally begins to kind of dictate how we treat each other. First little pig needs to get off the road, put his flute away, get back to the foundation of his life, which is Christ, and get down to business. See, he can't rest on his laurels that well, you know, he's got this pretty good looking house of straw because the storm's going to come. Second little pig takes a look at the straw house and he decides to build his house out of sticks. He sees the faulty foundation. Yeah, it's a house. But my stick house will look 10 tons better than that straw house. Notice he's concerned with how it looks. We will often fight to the death, you see, over a point of doctrine, but yet don't care enough about it to live it out. See, separate ourselves from others because we're going to believe the whole thing, but I'm not going to live out the whole thing. So it sticks. The little pig's more concerned about appearances than he is long-term responsibility and obedience. The obedience did not stop when we were obedient to Christ in baptism. It started. See? And it doesn't slack off. It should continue to build momentum. That obedience, that responsibility doesn't stop when we have erected the house. It has only started, see, as we continue to work on this temple. And it is as important to emphasize as it is the initial coming to. I'm not saying the initial coming to is, I'm saying let's do both. Builds his house out of sticks in a peaceful valley where all the stick houses look the same. Because we're all working on it, right? I won't mention yours and you don't mention mine. All these people can't be wrong, can they? I mean, isn't that what the divisions kind of look around and say? You know, you're good people. You can't. It really doesn't take him a whole lot longer to build his house than it did the first little pig. But it looks so much better. And he's so much more satisfied with himself. And he can point right here and say, see, I followed that in the building. And I believe that. And I've got the construction tape that's been up here for a long time. He is willing to fight for the plan. Separate himself because of the plan. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. These stick houses can look pretty good. We can build them in these peaceful little valleys where they all look the same and we don't get in each other's yards. Because nobody needs to know what happens when the door closes, right? And we can say, oh, what a serene looking setting, and yet underneath it's full of dead men's bones. At night, the second little pig lies on his cot, feeling pretty happy with himself. He built something that was really good looking and set himself apart from all the rest of these semi-Gentiles. He's a little worried about storms, but himself with the thought that his house looks so much better and he can point. And besides, these people seem to be okay. Too worried. Can all the rest of the people in this lovely valley be wrong? Next morning, second little pig invites all of his friends and his brothers to his new house for a party. And at the party, he takes out his fiddle. And he sings, I built my house of sticks. I built my house so fine. With a high diddle-diddle, he played on his fiddle and he danced for a very long time. Pretty satisfied with himself. The second little pig knows deep down that he should have built a stronger house. But he doesn't want to spend the extra time and the money and the effort to do it right. Besides, he's so much further ahead than these straw house people. See, the plan is perfect. And perfection needs to be transferred from the plan to the building. And this corporate building, see, we have to not only share the gospel, but share our very lives together. And the second little pig, his stick house looks so good, and he can find so many references that he just wants to fiddle around. He's kind of like the Christian who knows really well, can defend and understand really well his spiritual responsibilities, but he just won't discipline himself to do them. So God plays second fiddle in this little pig's life. He's not really on the throne. That lack of spiritual responsibility will have negative effects on that second life. Somewhere down the line, that's going to show up. And it's going to show up big time when the storm hits, because that's going to be the weak place. And while the discipline may not seem necessary now, it will, because there's a process, there's a refining process that God is going to put us through. And when I hit that wall, I'm going to need somebody to be able to go to and say, I've hit this wall and I need your help. Without them telling everybody else I've hit the wall. Helping each other. Investing that trust in each other. And that is hard work. That's the hardest work in my life. Honestly, that's the hardest work that I do. It is the continual process of putting myself out there to be disappointed. Jesus keeps doing it. And if He keeps doing it, He keeps calling His body to keep doing it. And if He calls His body corporately to keep doing it, He calls you and I to keep doing it. Second Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. For according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from truth and be turned aside to fables. In the last 30 years, I've heard lots of sermons preached on this, and generally they end up about here. Look, we've got the truth. We baptize people for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And those denominational people are heaping up teachers to tickle their own itching ears. And by golly, we've got the truth. You've got the materials. There's a process that still needs to go on. And if we stop there, we are just as guilty, see, of buying into the fable that, you know, we can build this stick house or this straw house and then, you know, put up a yellow tape that says caution, construction going on, but it's like a state job, there's no activity. Every Christian has a responsibility to read, study, and apply the Bible. Continue to apply. James 4:17 says, anybody who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. You need professional help to get around that. Jesus died for the first and the second little pig so that they would have everything that they need to build a strong and lasting faith. This second little pig needs to stop fiddling around and getting plugged into God's revealed will for his life. And he needs to do that by studying the Word. He needs to do that corporately. He needs to do that within the framework of the body of Christ. He needs to do that as whatever anybody else does. He's going to be a person of integrity because we're working on a building. We're building a building. We're going to go back to the beginning and continue the good work that was begun. Three little pigs, right? Third little pig, he decides to build his house out of concrete blocks on a solid foundation. It does take him a long time because the work is difficult and tedious. Riding down the road the other day with Tom. Tom says, 10 years ago, there were no buildings out here in this section. Man, it's all built up, Well, you look around, there's a lot of construction going on. Things get constructed, it seems like, overnight, About every 6 months, I make it to Bozeman. I see changes, Wonder why we don't see that kind of dynamic changes in Christians' lives. Really, shouldn't there be that kind of construction going on? Man, you look more like Jesus than you did 6 months ago. I wouldn't know. Please don't look, and we'll compliment each other. Hi, how are you doing? But Bill Downing always comes with me to help at the kids' camp. And, quite frankly, he rubs me the wrong way sometimes. He's up at camp getting stuff ready so I can talk like this. Now, you all know Jim Derry. Jim lives 4 hours from me. It's a lot easier for me to be friends with Jim. He doesn't rub me the wrong way every day. Bill and I come in contact every day, see? There are going to be places there that, and I'm sure it's not me. So, Jim's a lot better friend to me than Bill is. Or am I lazy in my relationship? Am I lazy when it comes to following the entire plan of God? And if I know the right thing to do and I don't do it, it's sin. See, Bill and I have to work. We work with the people that we come in contact with. But those are the deep, rich relationships because we get to know each other. See, you don't know somebody until you've spent 30 hours in a car with them. You get to know people. The good, the bad, and the extremely ugly. But that's the situations that we need to put ourselves in to build these lasting relationships and to make this a holy temple. Because we need to interconnect. Or else it's a pile of building materials. And God places these materials. You're not going to build anything by committee. Well, I wouldn't do it like that. Well, somebody got to be in charge, and God's in charge. See? A third little pig decides to build his house out of cement blocks and put it on a solid foundation. It takes him a long time. The work is difficult, but every day, slap, 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 he's laying blocks on that foundation. You go by 1 week, go by the next week, you see progress. Progress being made. See? He's purposed in his heart to build his house as strong as possible, whatever it takes. And in order to do that, he's selected two very important building materials. Concrete block. As Christians, we need to build our lives with God's building blocks. And 2 Timothy 2:15 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. We strengthen our life by using the word of God and making application with each other. This is practice. And mortar. You can't just stack the blocks on each other. The mortar goes in between the blocks. So the Holy Spirit is like the mortar in our spiritual life. See, His ministry teaches us how to bind God's Word to our hearts, how to live these things out, how to put it into practical application, how to take it from head knowledge to heart knowledge to hand knowledge. And I can't make you do that. You've got to want to do that. And like all mortar, you've got to add water. Otherwise, you put block and powder. Well, Acts 2:38. Peter says to them, repent and let every one of you be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Another place does it tell us how to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Unless you find one of the apostles to put his hands on you, this is the place. This is the place to get the mortar. This is the only mortar store. Remember the first and second little pigs? After the party, the third little pig didn't have time to go to the party. But the brothers went over to see how the third little pig's place was coming along. You get there, see their brother working, sweating. Say, come along with us and relax for a while. Our houses are done. We're gonna go to the lake and take it easy. Third little pig's nah. Work to do here. He continues to steadfastly build his house, not accepting any invitations that would take him away from his task. We need to build our lives with the same tenacity as that third little pig. There is nothing more important than where you're going to spend eternity. There's nothing more important than becoming, you see, the image of Christ Jesus and being transformed into that image. Not just simply reflecting, but being transformed. And that's what's going to draw don't stop. Don't be discouraged. Don't stop working. No half-baked jobs. Third little pig has a little song. He says, I built my house of stone. I built my house of brick. I have no chance to sing and dance, for play and work don't mix. Well, there's a time for everything. But the days are short. It's time to build. It's time to take this revolution to the next step. It's time to take a risk and invest ourselves in each other. line upon line, precept upon precept, putting these principles into play. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, Matthew 16, 13. He asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Immerser, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" Who do you? Really, who do you say? An add-on? Simon Peter answered and said to him, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." This means that Jesus is the boss, applesauce. He wasn't just the boss on how to lay the foundation. He's the boss of the building. And he's concerned about the building maintenance. He's concerned about the growth of the building. He's concerned about us individually, and he's concerned about us corporately. And he doesn't want us to hit a wall where we become looking more and more like the world because we can't get over this interpersonal relationship hump. When the storms of life come, when the big bad wolf blows, the question is, will your house stand? And are you willing to risk the hair on your chinny chin chin on your interpersonal relationships? Because that's what it comes down to. That's where it's at. Is there a risk involved? You betcha. But Jesus said in Matthew 7, wind this down here, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 20, "Therefore, by their fruits, you shall. Sound to you like a continuing process? Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Continual action, continuing to do. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, and we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name?' And I'll declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. Rain descended, floods came, winds blew, beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as one of the scribes. We don't exist so that people can look and say, "What a great building this is." we don't even exist so the people can look and say what a great bunch of people this is. We exist so the people can look at us and say, what a great God. Wise man built his house upon the rock. You know this song. Man built his house upon the rock. Help me. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rain came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up, and the house on the sand went smash.